Be seated, please. Well, this painting shows Jesus with his right arm outstretched toward Peter, who's just let go of the bow of the boat. His left arm is fully extended, showing his reluctance to let go. His right arm is extended also in an attempt to keep his balance on the roiling waters of the Sea of Galilee and to reach out for Jesus' own. Of the boat, we see only the bow and two of the disciples holding on for dear life and looking toward Jesus, or Peter and Jesus. The whole painting is done in dark, dusky blue and gray and brown. The artist, Rebecca Brogan, has given it the title, Walk by Faith. It's my pick of the images I came across on my search on the internet when I Googled, painting of Peter knee deep in the lake. Other paintings I looked at, by Rembrandt, Rubens, Bruegel, no doubt have much more artistic merit. I'm no expert by any means, but I love the movement and focus and exact moment Brogan, who graduated from Drake University in 2000, my only way of estimating her age and the approximate date of the painting, has captured in Walk by Faith. This story in Matthew's gospel is dreamlike, because I say so. I mean, it just strikes me that way this time around. And it has the potential to speak to us in our lives so distant from the first century and the Sea of Galilee. Just a quick recap. And I've got to tell you, I don't have a lot of patience with sermons that simply retell what we've just read, so I'll be as quick as I can. Jesus tells the disciples to head out in the boat after he's miraculously fed the multitude. That was last 2 weeks ago. He goes off to pray. Meanwhile, the disciples' boat is being battered by waves and wind. After a while of this battering, next morning, he goes to them walking on the water. They think he's a ghost and are appropriately terrified. Jesus says, as he so often does in the Gospels, don't be afraid. Peter says, make me able to do the same thing by ordering me. And Jesus says, okay, come over to me. Actually, scripture is even shorter than that. He says, come. Peter starts out just fine, but then starts to sink and says, Lord, save me. Immediately, and that's the adverb from the text, Jesus reaches out and catches him. Why did you doubt, he asks. Though the answer seems pretty clear to me. He and Peter get into the boat. Everything calms down. The disciples say, you really are the Son of God. And that little bullet list I just read you, the one that I printed in red is, immediately Jesus reaches out and catches Peter, because that's the moment in the painting I've described to you. The movement I sense in the story, the arc of the action, is something like this. Right after a miraculous feeding, Jesus tells the disciples to get on with their mundane lives, as mundane as they are, being followers of Jesus. Their lives are not charmed. They run into problems right away. We don't know what they're thinking, but probably not much. They're just trying to keep the boat upright in the water. You know what that's like. When something's immediate, all of your focus is there. That reminds me, or it did when I was writing this, of a lyric from John Prine's That's the Way That the World Goes Round. One day you're up, the next you're down, half an inch of water and you think you're going to drown. That's the way that the world goes round. You can fill in the ups and downs from your own experiences, as well as the fear of drowning in shallow water. Well, back to the boys in the boat. Peter seems to be the one who first recognizes Jesus, initially by the sound of his voice, it would seem, and has one of his impetuous thoughts. Last week or 2 weeks ago, let's build dwellings for you and Moses and Elijah here on the mountain. This time it's, tell me to come to you walking on the water also. Demonstrating a faith, Peter's faith, that God can make anything happen. But his belief in the impossibility of this task is, after a brief moment, greater than his belief that God is bigger than our negative expectations. Jesus is reminding him and us, whether Jesus was thinking about it at the time or not, that Peter's faith had room to grow. There's always room to grow. We try. We encourage each other to try to know God's will for us and to do that. And we do it, or part of it. And then we fail, inevitably. This might be a lesson in progress, not perfection. Sort of talked about this in the Bible study this morning, but another example is for our own nation's history. We've gone from practicing slavery, that is, owning other people as if they were livestock, to seeing that God, that does not fit into God's will or our higher purpose as God's children. Even though the church sought to justify that by some obscure, out-of-context quotations from Scripture. We do not do that any longer as a nation. And we have begun our walk on water. But then, by means subtle and self-deluding, we begin to sink as we find other ways to exploit each other. Other being the operative word here, because as long as we can see some people as other, we can feel justified in exploiting them. And we begin to sink. But if we keep our eyes on God's outstretched hand, having listened for God's voice calling out to us, we find ourselves saved from falling the rest of the way. God's voice is telling us, don't be afraid. And you can do better. You can have a stronger faith. All the while, stretching out that hand to grasp ours. We realize that we have wronged others and as a nation and set out to make that right, even thinking in terms of reparations, setting us once again into uncharted territory. And the same is true for each of us in our relationships. Where have we gone wrong? Where have we trusted in our own often biased judgment instead of asking for God's guidance? When have I wronged someone else? Have I made reparations or amends for that? When did I recognize that immediately after doing the thing and set things right before they got worse? When have I had the thought of making a selfish or deceitful decision and caught myself ahead of time? That movement, which every one of us has had, is indication of our following in Peter's footsteps, who himself was following in Jesus' own. Progress is what Jesus seems to be asking of Peter, what God seems to be asking of us. Not perfection in order to claim God's favor or approval or heaven, if it helps you to think about it in those terms. Not that, but steady, even unsteady, progress along this path of faith. So with that in mind, this is what we prayed in our collect this morning. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.